Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to We're Drunk and We Know Things. Recording on a delightfully sunny September afternoon.
This intro is brought to you by Sotto Voce. Hello.
This is my
hello,
telephone.
Listeners.
Hello, new phone. Who is?
This is going swimmingly already.
This month, we are travelling back 1,000 years to the conjunction on the... No, all right.
I don't think it's set 1,000 years ago.
It's not. It's really...
It's made 1,000 years ago.
Nearly. Yeah. We're actually looking at what would have been an early 80s classic. So again, if you're of our generation, probably a part of your childhood at some point.
That's true.
In some way, shape or form.
Yep.
Arguably, the first feature film, live-action feature film, to contain minimal real people.
That was literally the tagline.
Yeah. but as I'm sure we're about to discover, yeah, not entirely true.
Yes, all bollocks.
This month on We're Drunk and We Know Things, it's the planet Thra, it's the Great Conjunction, it's the Dark Crystal.
That's what I do. I drink. And I know things.
So, yeah. Sorry. We haven't agreed what those hand signals were, and it confused me for a second. But anyway, we're starting the podcast
now. This
one
means something quite rude.
Yeah, it's true.
And this one means, well, you don't want to know.
Perfect for an audio medium. Anyway, Dark Crystal. It was made in 1982, the year before I was born. Just want to put that out there. Slowly giving away my memorable information on the internet.
Well, what's the worst that can happen?
You know, my grandmother, it was a budget of $15 million. And it made $41 million.
Nice.
Yeah, not bad.
That's tiny.
Not bad. Not bad at all. It's directed by Jim Henson.
And?
Frankrick Oz.
Frankrick?
That's his full name. Frank is short for Frankrick.
It's really not.
No, it's not. Frank Oz, who you may know as the voice of Yoda.
Amongst other many other things.
And, we'll come to that in your...
We might come to that in the deep dive.
We'll see. It's written by David O'Dell, who wrote such masterpieces as Supergirl from 1984.
What?
And Masters of the Universe. So, you know, we'll come to my problems with the story of this film.
This is the highlight of O'Dell's career.
We will come to my problems with the story of this film, but that explains almost everything.
Okay.
The original concept was for The Land of Gorch, which was shorts on Saturday Night Live, of all things. They were a royal family of puppets who were horrible, and then the celebrity guests would come on and they'd be horrible to the celebrity guest. And they were very famous because everybody hated them. And they weren't funny even a bit. So it was like super adults, and they like, you know, they were like a puppet that was addicted to drugs, and one they were fucking and stuff. Like, you know, adult puppets, but they fuck, etc. But they didn't like it, so they stopped doing it. But Jim Henson was like, "Ooh, that gives me an idea." So he got snowed into an airport one day in February the 12th, 1978, in fact, and wrote a 25-page story called The Crystal, which is essentially the story of Dark Crystal, but with like lots of extra bits and some bits that weren't, that were then in the film. You know how there it is when you write a story.
Yeah.
Cool. I've written many puppet-orientated films, so as you know. Frank Oz said he wanted to get back to like Grimm's fairy tales. Jim Henson was a big believer in like, a bit like Roald Dahl, although Roald Dahl famously hated children. But anyway, Jim Henson thought that being scared is an important part of being a child.
Yeah.
And being scared of monsters and that kind of stuff.
You have to teach children how to fear things.
Exactly. That's certainly how I was parented. Fear. Sorry, Mum and Dad, you don't listen to this. I hope.
I don't think they do.
We've never discussed it. Well, I haven't shown them how to use the podcast app on their phone, so they don't. So you wrote a 25-page story while he was snowed in, and it was originally set in Mithra, which then became Thra. You know, just for...
There's a lot of fucking about with nonsense names in this movie.
There really is. So we'll come to that in a bit as well, actually. But Mithra was a wooded land with talking mountains, walking boulders, and animal-plant hybrids. The original plot involved the Reptus group, who were the bad guys, who became the Skeksis, who had a power coup against the peaceful Unes, led by Malcolm the Wise, the last survivor.
I love the fact that the leader of the Unes was called Malcolm.
Yes, and he gets killed, and it's about the quest of Malcolm's son, Brian.
Yes.
Brian Henson's his son as well, isn't it? I didn't think of that. Yeah, it's funny.
But still, it's
who
like...
was adopted by the Barda, Mithra's mystical wizards. So... makes as much sense to the story of Dark Crystal. It's basically the same, but the names are different. You know, Jen was going to be blue originally.
That would have worked. I would have had no problem
with
that.
Do you think his full name is Jennifer? Jennifer the Gelfling. No, I'm a boy. Show us your wings. Show us your wings, sweetheart. No, I'm a boy. You know.
Yeah.
Sexism in Thra. I've got a whole, like, 10-minute bit on it later.
Gender identification in Thra.
So, the philosophy...
What, glue on wings? And you can't tell me I'm not allowed them. Because that would make you a bigot.
I'm not having this conversation because I saw two men get thrown up a bar for having almost the same thing yesterday. We just had this conversation. Anyway, so let's talk about the philosophy before we get onto anything else, because this is the bit that makes me laugh the most.
Well, are we going to do the plot summary?
I always forget that bit because I skip straight past it in my notes.
It's normally at the top of the show, right?
It is, yeah. It's the top point on my little Word document here.
So
skip straight past it.
Jen the Gelfling.
Jen the Gelfling.
Is being raised by the mystics.
He is.
I can't remember which we meet first. I think we meet the Skeksis first.
Yeah, there's
actually.
The Skeksis for ages, and there's that like 9-minute long narration,
which is amazing.
Incorrect. And
what?
Nope.
If only they may be able to get somebody decent to do it.
Sigourney Weaver does it in the new TV series.
Okay.
It's worse.
Yeah.
We'll get to that later.
So basically, the Skeksis, their emperor's dying. The mystics, their head mystic is dying.
So it's like a thing that turns out later where they're like split parts of like the same entity, which is immediately explained.
Obvious.
Yeah, yeah, immediately obvious. I mean, this is a film for children.
Jen is told that he must go and heal the crystal.
Yes.
And is sent very, very vague directions to go and meet Augra.
Augra, yes. The old witch.
Who holds the missing piece.
Which has got a whole bunch of shards, doesn't she?
She's got a bunch of shit, to be
honest. It feels like that's a test, but it's not very well explained. So he goes on a quest, and he gets the shard from Augra.
He goes on a quest. He climbs a hill.
No, and it's an amazing bit where he says, I can't do this alone. Okay, then. Alone. Literally, at that pace.
Yeah.
Very key moment
also,
of character development.
Love the fact that we get to hear his inner monologue.
Yes.
And you can tell it's his inner monologue because he's not moving his mouth, which seems like they couldn't be asked to do the puppetry.
I would like to raise one quick point before we go on about Jen's puppet.
Go on.
All the puppets in this film are amazing, with the exception of the main character, which is one of the worst puppets I've ever seen. Exquisite, unbelievable, beautifully handmade puppets, and also an action figure that they kind of get to bop around like a Muppet.
Yeah.
Super weird. Anyway.
Would have been better being played by Kermit the Frog. It would also have been better had he been blue.
100% would have been better.
Anyway.
Yes.
So
he goes on a quest.
Meets Augra, spends a bit of time,
he
discovers
that the dark
there is a great conjunction coming up.
Yes.
The suns will align. Apparently, this last happened 1,000 years ago when, plot spoiler alert, the Skeksis and the mystics both appeared.
Yeah. Ooh.
Almost as if they were somehow linked intrinsically in a way that.
Oh, and
we
he has to go and heal the crystal,
later.
And they tell him to go and heal the crystal, but no one tells him why.
No. Well, no one tells him why.
He just says, go and do this. And he's like, all right.
No one tells him how, because Augra's about to, and then the Garthim,
yeah, sure.
Big, scary, beakly fuckers who,
yes,
I'm not going to lie, legit haunted my nightmares.
No,
as a
they
child.
Are awesome. That is some cool business.
Break in, set fire to the observatory /
He escapes orrery. By falling out of a window.
He basically just takes a head
he
around the nearest
out of
window.
No, he does, yeah.
And falls down a hill and ends up in a swamp.
And then
where
he meets Kira.
Kira, who is also a Gelfling, he thought he was the only one.
But they're not. And then they have, like, a dream-sharing, memory-sharing thing.
Which has a name, which I can't remember.
It's called, like, dream writing
dream
or
casting
something.
Can I
just say something, by the way? At this point, I was like,
so
this is the other movie that James Cameron stole everything off of when he made Avatar.
Oh.
Pocahontas plus a Dark Crystal equals Avatar.
Yeah.
100%.
They then decide that they are going to go together for no reason other than, I've
She's
just
like,
met you and we're
I'm
the same.
I'm gonna come. We're the same.
Yeah.
I've got wings.
I mean, I've got a perfectly good life.
She's got the best puppet in this whole film, Fizzgig, who is actually my new favourite thing in the whole world. Like I said, as soon as I watched it the first time, I said to my wife, you must be able to buy that toy. I need it in my house.
Yes, but it would just hide from you.
He's a cute little thing, and he's like, and his mouth is huge, and it's hilarious.
Yes.
Of all the amazing puppetry in this film, it's that one, which is clearly on a guy's hand.
I also like the fact that he moves by just rolling along.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that he's a total coward.
Yeah.
Flash forward, a couple of things happen. The Emperor dies, the crystal calls to the Skeksis, the mystics hear the call and decide that it's time for them to begin the slowest walk ever to the castle.
Yeah, they go for a long-ass walk. And every time one dies, every time Skeksis dies, one of the mystics dies as well.
Well, we don't actually discover that until way later in the film.
No, when they knock the scientist down the shaft.
Yeah, but that's way later in the film.
Oh, okay, right. It's not a very long film.
Jen and
yeah,
Kira
yeah.
have made it to the thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Jen and Kira set off on their journey, get spotted by a bat, the
crystal bats,
the Gurathim, whatever they're called, beetle Garthim. Guys, Garthim. Well, hang on, no, they go back to Kira's home village, which seems risky. Given
the podlings, because she's raised by the podlings.
Observed. The podlings looking remarkably like other generic Muppets,
extremely
from
Muppetish,
Fraggle Rock.
And they move like Muppets.
Yeah, they have
much.
A good old party.
That boppy walk that Muppets do.
And of course, it's interrupted by the bad guys. Who apparently are raiding that village anyway.
Yeah.
There's a whole thing about sucking animals dry for essence, which just seems perverse.
I want your life essence. This won't hurt. We're just going to drain your life essence. Sounds like it's gonna.
I don't think it does.
No. Well, you know.
They make it to the castle. What then happens?
There's a big old fight. Kira gets stabbed. He
puts
the shard in it.
Yeah, big fight. He repairs the thing and...
there's a whole thing with the Chancellor who gets expelled and then tricks them on one face or something.
The Chancellor's wandering around. Also one of the creepiest motherfucking characters ever.
A lot.
Very good.
Thank you. thank you. I've been practicing.
They heal the crystal.
They do.
And it turns out that the Mystics and the Skeksis are two halves of one being.
They're like the evil part and the good part.
That was sundered 1,000 years ago during the last Great Conjunction when
in
they broke the crystal.
In their arrogance, they shattered the crystal by, like, taking a shard out.
No, they hit it with a stick.
The magic stick of Thra.
Apparently?
I don't know. I have no idea. There's an enormous amount of stuff. Books, comics, sequels.
Oh, yeah. There's, like, graphic novels.
I have no intention of watching or reading any of them.
No. Kira is healed by the newly conjoined... And what are they called? They're called something like the...
The Uru.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
No, they're not. They're definitely not.
No, isn't it the Uru was the Mystics?
That's the name for the Mystics.
Right.
So it's something like the Uskis. It's a really bad
portmanteau. Udrumi what's it?
The Udrumi flips.
I'd have called them Chazwazzers.
To quote Chazwazzers.
One of the best episodes of The Simpsons of all time.
Then heal Kira, and basically we get one long, lingering, lovely shot of the world of Thra.
Ooh, and the horrible stone crystal castle turns into a crystal castle.
Yeah, right. Fenny. Anyway. So, fairly classic. Good versus evil. Good prevails.
Basically, the plot of Star Wars in places.
There's quite a lot of peril.
Yes, there is.
So these days, there will be mild peril.
Mild peril. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, Fizzgig, for example, you're not sure if he makes it.
He gets thrown into that volcano. I was well upset. But then he's like, grabbing onto the thing. Honestly, I would just watch the Fizzgig. That's why I enjoyed watching it the second time so much, because I was just like, when he's going to be on it in a minute. He's going to be on it in a minute. He's so good.
Right, there we go. Plot summary, as you were.
Ta. So, you were talking about them being two parts of the same thing, whatever they are called, the Skeksis and the Uru or whatever, or like the Mystics are like split. So the philosophy of it is there's this the thing called the Writings of Seth. And they.
McFarlane.
Yes, the Writings of Seth MacFarlane. Oh boy.
So I figure that's going to be a lot of dick jokes.
So the Seth materials are written by dictated by a lady called Jane Roberts from 1961 to 1984, pretty much, where she was channeling a male entity called Seth, initially through a Ouija board, and then she was being possessed by him. And Seth dictated these learnings to her husband.
Can we back up a bit? What the fuck are you talking about?
This is the philosophy of this film. It's
right.
All based on this New Age philosophy called the Seth materials.
Okay, carry on.
Thank you. Essentially, Seth says that matter is created by consciousness, and reality is created by thoughts, feelings, and experiences, and our entity is comprised of all of our previous incarnations, our current incarnation, and is comprised of various selves. Basically, hippie nonsense.
Well, there is a third world. A lot of unconscious... No, I can't remember. It's an orb track.
Sure. But it is also a load of old hippie bullshit.
Jim
Henson
like
was very much taken in by it. And insisted that Brian Froud, who is the concept artist, and David O'Dell, read all the books. So read 20 years worth of this New Age material to like write it into the film script, essentially. Because I didn't really realise, but apparently Jim Henson was a massive hippie.
Well, he was a massive hippie
during
in
the 60s
spite
and 70s.
Of his upbringing.
Right, okay.
We'll talk about that.
So
actually,
Brian
I don't
Froud.
Even think I mention it, but...
Well, we've talked about it, so it's fine. We've mentioned it.
He was a Christian scientist.
Was he?
Until fairly late in his life, as in, like,
so
late
many
teens.
Creative people have come from Christian scientist upbringings and become artists as, like, an act of rebellion.
Yeah.
So many.
But
anyway.
But he was very polite about it. He sent them a letter to say that he was no longer practicing.
Very nice. The man was famously a bit of a bastard, so that is actually quite nice of him. It's good. So Brian Froud, who was the concept artist, worked for 5 years... And he actually made a book called The Land of Froud from like the mid-70s, which Jim Henson saw, which is where why he asked him to be the concept artist of the film. But he worked for him for like 5 years. And he designed literally everything, and then Jim Henson, being a genius, made all the puppets that look exactly like the concept drawings. It is uncanny. I highly recommend you check it out. Originally, the Mystics were called the Ooers.
Because of the noise they made.
Literally, the Ooers. So they changed that because it sounds stupid.
Well, to be honest, it wouldn't have worked in the northern English market.
Because
it would have been the Ooer Misses.
But we'll put that sound in post. Perfect. The Spaceys originally spoke their own language, and it
they
had subtitles.
Did. They wrote and this entire.
They literally, like, in the time of like, the time of when they invented Klingon, Dothraki, and stuff. They invented the whole Skeksis language, and then showed it to test screenings, and people were like, "What the fuck is this?" Because it was 1982, and they redubbed the whole film.
Yeah.
Apparently, the original cut is like insanely esoteric and really psychedelic, even more psychedelic, and like quite a lot more disjointed and stuff like that. And there's like they've all got their own languages and subtitles. And test audiences were just like, no, it is 1982,
can't do
and
it.
I am an American, absolutely not. The Podling speaker language.
The Skeksis. We were talking about them renaming shit for no
yes.
apparent reason.
Yeah, sure.
Originally, Skeksis was meant to be the plural, and Skeksis was the singular.
Yeah. The amount of
detail they went into to kind of craft this universe that they then realised was, oh no, that's completely over the top.
And the movie is 86 minutes long. So it's not like, it's a lot of work for 86 minutes. I mean, I get it has to be short because it's all puppets and there's a ball ache, but I mean, it's a lot of work. 5 years of concept to film something in 8 months.
I have the feeling it was a labour of love.
Yes, very much so.
The thing that these guys had already made a shit ton of money and could pretty much do whatever the hell they wanted.
Like, I'm Jim Henson, motherfucker. Muppets? That's right, I'm making a movie about a Gelfling who sticks a shard into a crystal and heals raptor aliens.
I must admit, there are a couple of moments during this film where he's holding this shard, and the shard is slightly phallic, shall we say. I don't know what to do with it. I'm going, Jen, I know what you can do with it,
Every
mate.
Single time somebody dies in this film, I go, there is another Skywalker. Every single time. So you're not alone in openly mocking this film. Because it's not very good. But we'll come to
it's
that later.
Very good.
But the Podlings speak Podlings, who Kira was raised by. They speak a language based on Serb, Croat, and Bosnian at the time. And native speakers can actually understand certain words because they're in the right places. So like it's still a fleshed out language, even though they're a group of people you meet for 10 minutes in the background and they sing a song. It's very Mos Eisley cantina.
Yeah. Except if Anakin whipped out his saxophone and joined in.
Super weird, but that weird. It's not an ocarina, is it? It's just like a split.
No,
flute.
The other guy is playing an ocarina.
There is a Podling playing an ocarina.
Which
yeah.
does still, and I think this is. I can't remember which comedian it is, but it looks like he's doing something obscene to a tortoise.
Sure.
Every time an ocarina player. Oh.
It was shot
Turtle
at Elstree Studios.
Time.
It was Turtle blowjob time. The only thing they will rush for. Shot at Elstree Studios in 1981. And then on location in the Scottish Highlands. On sketch.
Sorry, in the Scottish Highlands, so possibly on location on Loch Eish.
Oh boy. Yeah.
Well, I don't know, you're not bringing the fun.
No, I'm
dude.
Not,
Come
I'm
on.
Sorry, I apologise. It's right, it will get more interesting in a minute when I start talking about how I don't like it. Gordale Scar in Yorkshire. Also in Leicestershire. Thrilling stuff.
It sits on the border.
So let's talk about puppets real quick.
Go.
Right, there are puppets in this film.
Nothing.
They
but,
are amazing.
To be honest.
They are truly amazing. I watched this in 4K the other night, which I highly recommend if you have access to it, because the texture of the puppets are insane. So you know the Skeksis and the Mystics.
Yep.
They've got like similar patterning on all of their clothes and textiles mm-hmm. and wooden staffs and all that kind of stuff to like show that they're linked. The skin of the Mystics has that in it. But you can't sell that when you watch it on Netflix. When you watch it in 4K, it is insane. Like, the texture of all it, and we'll come back to this when we talk about the prequel TV show in a little bit, but the texture of all of it is incredible. Like, that scene at the beginning where that head Mystic dies is amazing. That puppet is insane. So, I'm going to have to do a bit of mime for this, unfortunately. Perfect for a podcast medium. The Mystic puppets are people in suits, right? But they're like down on their haunches. They're down on their haunches. And they've got one hand above their head, like they're doing like an impressionment of an elephant almost. Can I have a hot cross bun, please? Moving the head, and then they just move just the left arm.
Yeah.
So if you look, all Jim Henson puppets are left-handed.
Yeah.
Because the puppeteer does the head with one hand and the left arm
Not
with
all.
The other. Not all?
There's one exception.
Oh.
You'll find out which one in the deep dive.
It's old one-arm Steve, and he's only got one. So yeah, so
and the worms are probably
so
a bit like
the things were so heavy. The Henson himself could only do it for 5 seconds, between 5 and 10 seconds, which is why there are very few long shots of them walking around because they are incredibly heavy. The Garthim things weighed 70 pounds.
I know.
So
you're going
in between takes, they had to hang them up on racks in the suit. So like suspended,
it. Just to make
hanging on a washing
clear,
line.
They left the performer in the suit,
in the suit.
And just
yeah,
hung
yeah.
the suit up.
Yeah, yeah, it is insane. It's so funny. But
can
they,
you imagine being in that break room?
Really, in
right,
trying to have a fag with that big claw.
Not a bad Dave.
Yeah, exactly. What do you do today at work? So, because of the kind of work they had to do, they got mimes from Switzerland, acrobats from France, puppeteers from all over the world. It's the Henson Company, so it's the best of the best kind of thing, doing that kind of stuff. Because they had to choreograph everything. It was very difficult to make the Gelflings have like a humanoid gait, like the way they walk and stuff, which I do think they do an incredible job at. The naturalistic movement of the puppets is insane.
Well,
it's absolutely insane.
Kind of their bread and butter.
Yeah, no, I know. But
no, they did bring in a lot of resources to make it.
But you forget you're watching puppets. It is amazing.
Yeah.
You just kind of go, oh, no, that's a person with his arm up the back of her. I know what I said. It is amazing. There's a bit when he goes into Augra's...
Orrery.
Orrery, thank you. And
or, as I like to think of it, orrery.
No. I edit this one, and I will be bleeping that out.
You don't, and you won't.
Damn. She goes in, she...
There will be a conjunction in a thousand years.
This podcast is over. Imagine, that was it. When the orrery is spinning around, she's talking to him and keeps ducking every
yeah.
time it spins around, which is, if you think how difficult it is to actually work one of these puppets, it's such an unnecessary thing that makes it so much more difficult to do that shot. But
I mean, just
know,
that
so
element,
good.
But even her character's expression, interaction and what have you,
yeah, yeah.
is insane.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like at the very end of the movie, she's just been somehow gotten out of her cage.
Well, she somehow gets out of the houses on fire as well. So.
Well yeah. No, she gets taken by the Garthim things. But no, she does this thing where she's looking for something to make a dramatic statement and just picks up the thing next to her and says something like, the great conjunction comes.
Yeah.
And looks down at the thing she's holding, realises it's just a piece of junk. Yeah. Meh.
It's so
but
good. They really
every
are.
Every single bit of that process
so
is realised on both the face. It's amazing.
She's not voiced by Frank Oz, but
no,
she's performed by Frank Oz. So Jim Henson performs Jen and that kind of stuff, but all their voices aren't them. They originally wanted Frank Oz to do it, but Jim Henson was like, "That sounds like too much like Miss Piggy did," and like, that's not the point.
It's basically, he's only got two.
So the lady
and we
that
can't
plays
use Yoda,
her, Billy
we'll
Whitlaw, I want to say, is actually
yes.
the demonic, she also plays the like demonic nanny from the Omen.
Oh.
It's all for you, Damien. Mm. Yes, that's her. Which is, the puppetryness is awe-inspiring, which for me covers a multitude of sins, but... come to that in our reviews. Henson wanted the Skeksis to be based on the seven deadly sins, but there were 10, so he reused some of them. So each Skeksis was the same, kind of the same as the Mystics, where it was a guy down on the haunches or a person down on the haunches with their arm above their head, operating the left hand. Then they had a person doing the right hand. They had people doing the face, the eyes.
How many people were in these things?
So there's one person in it, but then they were Rod and Cable.
Yeah, they switched to RF. Didn't
yeah, yeah.
They?
During production, so
sorry,
they
radio
control. So they essentially invented the technology during the making of the movie. We'll talk about the Jim Henson Company and geniuses, robotic and sculpture geniuses who decided they'd make eagle puppets, essentially. The Gelflings were designed by Wendy Milner, who actually met Brian Froud, the concept designer, on the set and got married.
Aww.
And their son is Toby, who is the baby who gets kidnapped in Labyrinth. Aww. Wheels within wheels. She worked on Stuart Freeborn's team.
Non-speaking part, they didn't have to pay him equity rate.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Well, he's too young to have joined the Actors Guild, so definitely, yeah.
Oh, I don't know. They get him early these days.
So they're having a problem at the moment where they want to put, this sounds really weird, but actual like live footage of a baby being born in movies. So like in Knocked Up, right, they wanted to show footage of a baby being born, but they couldn't because the baby hadn't been born, the baby couldn't be registered with the Actors Guild, so they couldn't appear on screen.
I think that's entirely yet. Logical.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Also, long may the tradition of six-month-old babies being presented on camera as newborns continue.
Yeah, the size of them.
Right, I've got some ketchup. We'll sort it.
The mother is just a head, and then what looks to be a squid underneath. It's just, yeah, they'd be so. Yeah. That was grim. I'm sorry. That was gross. Sorry to anybody that's had a baby out there.
That was also literally a Men in Black.
It was literally a Men in Black. But yeah, so the Gelflings were designed by Wendy Milner, who worked on Stuart Freeborn's team. Stuart Freeborn is another Jim Henson man, who is the person who's led the team that designed Yoda. So Wendy Milner worked on the puppet for Yoda and then designed the Gelflings. And the Gelflings, as I said earlier, sorry, Wendy, are the worst puppets in this film. It's really annoying.
It's okay. It's okay. She made Yoda.
She helped make Yoda. She certainly did. It was really hard to get them to like have a humanoid gait and that kind of stuff, like where they walk. So there is a guy called Kieran Shah, who is a million different aliens that all I could say names and they don't mean anything to you. You have to Google them and go, oh yeah, right, that guy. So you know when Rey finds BB-8 in Force Awakens?
Yep.
You know there's that guy on the big weird animal that's caught him in the net? And she's oi! Kieran Shah's the guy in the suit.
So he's just random alien dude.
So he's random alien dude for everything. For Lucasfilm, for Jim Henson, for everything. But he plays any time there is, when it's clearly a person in a suit, it's him. So when Jen jumps into the shaft and is like climbing up the rocks and stuff, it feels is way clearly way too naturally as a dude in a suit, so you never see his face. When he falls out the window when the house is on fire, that's him, that kind of stuff. But then he went on to have a long and still has a long and illustrious career with Jim Henson Company and the Star Wars Company, and your little put a suit on. It's like what's his face? R2-D2.
Yeah.
Kenny Baker.
Yeah.
It's the same kind of thing. I used to go to the same church as Kenny Baker. Did you know that?
I'm going to leave the fact that you went to church hanging.
I went to church for a bit, but then Land of the Giants and Lone Ranger was on TV on Sunday mornings, so I stayed at home to watch that instead. I swapped one religion for another. God's all right, but Land of the Giants is amazing.
Probably got about as much chance of ending up in paradise, so... You know,
yeah, well, absolutely, yeah. Fizzgig. Let's talk about him.
Again?
Yeah. He was a man with a hand in his pockets called Dave Gotts. He was just brought in to give Kira a caring edge because they were worried that she was too cold, which is weird because she doesn't come off like that at all. But he's also in the new...
Giant hippie who talks to all the animals.
So Fizzgig isn't his name. Fizzgig turns out to be the actual type of creature because as Fizzgig...
Oh, he is a Fizzgig.
He's a Fizzgig, but they call him Fizzgig.
So that means that potentially there are many Fizzgigs, so you could get one as a pet.
In the prequel...
In
the new one, there's a Fizzgig voiced by the same person. I love that there is a voice. David Gotts is the voice performer just for Fizzgig. That literally does that. So he does the voice in the prequel as well, except the Fizzgig in that has got an eye patch. Yes.
Amazing.
Amazing as it sounds.
That's the Fizzgig you want,
yeah,
right?
It really is the Fizzgig I want. He's got a fucking eye patch. It's so
Pirate
good.
Fizzgig.
I love it. I love it so much. This film was banned in a number of Arabic countries because it was deemed sacrilegious. Because the thing with the Seth materials is it's all a load of hokey New Age bullshit and basically just steals everything off of either Islam or Eastern religions or Christianity and smushes them all together.
I kind of get that because there's like the sand pattern, the other one.
But isn't, I mean, I don't know.
At the beginning, that's a kind of Buddhist trapping.
I don't really know anything about Islam at all, but it doesn't seem that it's overtly...
This is fairly low key.
I think
on the
it's just because it's
front.
Like hippy dippy, new agey nonsense, and it was 1980s in the East, so they were like, fuck it.
I must admit, they are blatantly. I mean, I turned to my wife watching this movie at some point last night, I think, whilst they were both singing and playing their flutes.
True.
Fucking hippies. I said that lightheartedly. That is my... I can see
the
how
whole
they
time
might
I watched
take
this film.
Objection to it.
No, absolutely. No, my whole time watching this film was me just being like, "Fucking hippies! Oh my god, look at that puppet! That's incredible! Fucking hippies!" The tiny hairy creatures we already talked about. they were wind-up toys that had literally wind-up with a key, right? And they had to wind them up individually and then let them go every time they started filming. Yeah, it's amazing. It's so good. When it was first shown to test audiences, however, they didn't like it.
Didn't like what?
Because the film. Test audiences hated it. Absolutely hated it.
Was this before or after they'd swapped out all the languages and stuff?
Before. So they had to swap everything out.
Well, we knew that. You just said that before.
Indeed. But the reason it was so badly received, the ITC Film Entertainment, who are the original production company, were trying to sell the rights. They were just trying to get rid of it. They were like, this is going to be so bad. We're trying to sell it. And eventually, they couldn't find anyone, and the price went down and down and down and down and down until Jim Henson just bought it himself and self-released.
Nice.
Yeah, he was just like, fuck it, it's my labor of love, I'll do it. I'm Jim Henson, I've got enough clout with Disney and Lucasfilm and everybody else.
I can get this out there.
I can get this out there. I'll just do it myself.
Fair.
So it,
also like the fact that he waited until it really
and like from what I understand, he really like was like, this is what I'm going to do, but no one's going to buy it because it's such an abject mess at the minute. Well, his vision he loved, but he was like, I've got to put it, you know, that's the point of Tesla, to restring it together. But he then hunkered down.
Creative dream trimmed back to capitalist reality or very, very shrewd filmmaking.
You decide. No, I'm going to tell you, it was both. No, I know. You didn't. No. It is. I mean, that speaks a lot to, which we will talk about the man himself. It's just like...
Yeah.
He's a legit
commitment,
auteur.
Commitment to his art.
He's like a legit auteur. I mean, admittedly, I might have had a few glasses of wine when I watched this the other night, but I said to a friend, like, it almost reminds me of, like, Kubrick or something, where he has absolute control of every facet of every single thing that is on the screen. Like, he's a real honest to God, or was a real honest to God auteur. Really incredible.
I mean, there is a scene, it's the scene where I think Jen ends up in the swamp.
Yeah.
And you get this amazing tracking shot.
Yeah.
Sorry, have you ever seen that thing on Facebook where it's like, film guys, and they name all the shots, like panning, dolly zoom, and all the rest of it. Yeah. Non-film guys, pan. So apologies to the people who actually like film who listen to this. I'm one of them. I'm sorry. Mea culpa. Anyway, so this amazing tracking shot where it pulls across the swamp.
Yeah.
And you get... Everything's alive.
Yeah. That is amazing.
And you get the thing that eats the other thing.
Yeah.
But you just look at that and you think, that is a completely constructed environment.
Yeah.
Which exists purely as an incidental moment just to demonstrate the magical nature of the land.
So...
And everything in there, somebody is... manipulating.
Yeah, there's a person underneath floorboards pulling a string or injecting water
or
something.
And it's the fact that this is physical
that
makes this so much more amazing. Because don't get me wrong, I can sit there and be like, you know what, I think that bush should rustle in the breeze, and some git at a computer will type 3 commands and all of a sudden the bush is rustling in according with the latest Hollywood rustling guidelines.
Well, yeah.
Whereas then it was I have no idea to this day how they did the ripple effect after the thing eats the thing.
And
the plants in front of it just go.
Rob,
fucking hell!
Rob, never watch the prequel. Never watch the prequel because everything you've just described are all the bits that they don't have in the prequel. It is very bad. But again,
because they're all the bits that cost time and money.
Yeah.
And to a management
this
executive,
this cost $15 million.
Doesn't add any value. No, but it adds all the value.
So, do you remember when we were talking in Who Framed Roger Rabbit about that thing bumping the lamp?
Yes.
Where he bumps the physical lamp, and it's a small thing that you don't notice, you don't realise what it is that they've done, but without it would feel weird. And it's small little things that the audience don't really notice. There's one bit when they're walking through the swamp where he looks at Kira's footprint. When he first sees her footprint, and it's a fresh footprint, you could tell it's fresh because water starts to rise up. You know when you walk into wet sand on the beach, right? It does that. So somebody had to like sit underneath with a syringe. And like it is
probably two or three syringes.
That level of imagination and detail and work is just truly, it really is legitimately awe-inspiring. It's amazing.
That's Henson. I mean, this is the guy who, and I'm going to steal a bit from the deep dive because it sets this off perfectly. He made a commercial where basically it was a William Tell knockoff, and he hired an archer, and the whole point was that there would be an apple on this puppet's head. His hand was in the puppet, so his hand was the head.
There'd
be an apple on the top, and the archer had to fire at it, a real arrow, it hit the apple.
God,
and the archer got it first take.
Yeah.
Henson then demanded 5 more takes because he wasn't too sure on the angle and the lighting.
Yeah.
That's the man.
Yeah. It is. And like I say, that's, I mean, that's the mark of a legitimate author. I mean, the guy invented the Muppets, for fuck's sake.
Anyway, we're waffling and starting to get a little bit hard. Got semis all round.
Two last little bits, and then we'll talk about our reviews where we can then go full hard. From 6 to midnight, if you will. So it came out at the same time as E.T. and Tootsie. And Tootsie was a smash. And it still made $41 million, which is quite big in the face of E.T. Another movie about a famous...
Where people are like, oh, the 80s, it was all a bit right. And golden age of cinema, folks. You have no idea. We will not see it again.
70s and 80s is...
We may.
70s and 80s is not two disparately different decades in cinema that are so incredibly successful. It's insane. So E.T., obviously, Frank Oz in a Jim Henson puppet. It's a puppet! I want to do that all the time. And Tootsie... Dustin Hoffman in drag. It was nominated for Best Visual Effects for the BAFTAs, but it lost to Return of the Jedi. So no massive loss. somebody from the Henson Company took a little gold mask home regardless. Yeah, exactly. Do you know what else was up against it?
What?
The third one, War Games.
For what?
For Best Visual Effects. Wait. Return of the Jedi.
Hang on, wait, what?
Yeah, nominated for Best Visual Effects that year.
Are there visual effects in War Games?
It's all computers, isn't it? It's like a game. It's like, pew, pew, pew.
Okay.
Maybe in 1981 that was good?
It was fairly...
When did the Famicom come out? That's the NES to noobs.
88, I want to
say. Yeah, so yeah, it was a long time later, yeah. Yeah. So there you go.
If you want to find out, you could just listen back to our Nintendo episode, which is available wherever you get your podcast.
That's true. It is, and that's a good one.
Ding.
I talk about fingering Princess Peach in the back of a taxi. That's how good that one is.
That was a good one. Anyway...
So that is me for production, because we're going to explore more in our deep dive in a couple of weeks, so I don't want to go too into it before we now go full Jim Henson nerd, but we've still got a few things to talk about. First thing I want to talk about is our reviews.
Oh.
I'm going to let you go first.
Oh, what? Okay, so this is difficult because it's not one of the biggies of my childhood.
Oh, really?
It's not Labyrinth.
Well, you prefer Labyrinth over this?
Yeah.
Wow. It's not Krull.
Well, I have a very soft spot for Krull.
Jesus. Sounds like you've got a hard spot for Krull. Sounds like you've got a wet spot for Krull. Okay, that's enough.
No, it was basically... It was one of those movies that was aware of, watched, enjoyed, sure. What have you.
Yeah.
Coming back to it, appreciate the puppetry.
Mm-hmm.
The story is all right. It kind of rolls along. It's a standard good versus evil questy thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are some clever moments. There are some amazing characterization.
Yeah.
And that characterization is really well executed in the supporting cast.
Mm-hmm.
Less so in the leads.
Yeah. You mean by Stephen Garlick, who voices Jen? His name is Stephen Garlick.
Steve.
That's got to be a stage name, right? And he chose Stephen Garlick.
Why would it be a stage name if he's a voice actor?
Because he loves garlic.
Okay.
You know his real name.
What are we rating this out of?
Let's rate it out of...
Shards of Crystal.
That feels a bit on the nose.
10 Deadly Sins.
Yeah, let's rate it out of 10 Deadly Sins. I love
okay,
it.
Okay, so you had to make him another 3. Yep. So out of 10, this probably gets a fairly solid 7.
Okay. Fair.
Mostly because I watched this last night and... The universe, the world that they create, not a universe, it's a world, literally a planet.
sure.
But the world that they create is so absolutely perfectly done.
Yes.
The characters are, for the most part, wonderfully endearing. Agor, or whatever the fuck her name is, wonderfully
Orger.
Endearing. Orger is superb.
Yeah.
Fizgig is amazing.
Yeah.
The Skeksis are terrifying. The Garahim are equally scary. Terrifying.
I get how it was really scary when you were a kid. It is scary.
It loses points, to be honest, because not that it hasn't aged well. In some places, it's clunky.
Sure.
The plot is kind of incidental.
Yes.
It feels a little bit like it.
Feels
the ending
very much
is a bit weak. And mostly. Because, seriously, next time you're making a movie that costs this much money, kick out another $2 million and get John fucking Williams to do the soundtrack.
Yeah, no, I didn't bring up the soundtrack because it hasn't got one. It's terrible.
It's horrible.
It's bad.
It's
got
so
the recurring
bad.
Theme, which is like 15 seconds long.
Da, da, da.
There's no way. Frank Oz couldn't get John Williams to knock out 20 minutes and just put it on repeat. Come on.
Yeah.
They could have used 20 minutes of Star Wars scraps.
7 Deadly Sins out of 10.
I'm also going to give it 7 Deadly Sins out of 10. I watched this when I was a wee lad, slip of a lad, and I didn't care about it because I don't like fantasy.
You watched it when you were a young hog.
Indeed. And I don't like fantasy, as well, you know. I'm a ray gun and spaceship man, not a Harry Potter, Gelfling. Yeah, indeed. I am glad I've rewatched this, because it really, as you said, and I won't gush because I'll just be saying the same things you did, but all those reasons you just said, the mastery of the puppetry, the way that he shoots the puppets, the way that the sets are designed, once you understand, if you understand blocking and like camera angles, stuff like that, it really is absolutely a legitimate technical masterpiece. However, it's about Gelflings and Skeksis. So I'm knocking three off. It's basically Star Wars with puppets for me, and I love it. I really love it.
And I would say, anybody who's listening to this, if you haven't watched it, please do.
Yeah, give it a go.
Turn the fucking sound down. Don't do that.
Watch on Sunday afternoon with a hangover. You won't regret it.
It's the perfect... I did joke to you a couple of days ago. I was saying I hadn't managed to watch it yet.
Yeah.
You know what I really need? I need to inject a Sunday afternoon between here and Saturday. It's a Sunday afternoon movie. If you've got kids... they will fucking love this
film. 100%. Yeah, 100%.
And it doesn't... it hasn't dated particularly.
No, I don't think it has. And I think it's the same with the Star... with the same as the Star Wars movies, right?
The original Star Wars movies. Because it's dated horribly.
Phantom Menace looks like... this is what I always say about Star Trek as well. Next Gen looks more dated than the original series.
Yeah.
And it's the same with this. Because the puppets are so good... and the practical effects are so good, it doesn't date because it's real. Nothing dates faster than... like, at the end, there's, like, Dodge CGI.
Yeah.
CGI. It's, like, animation. Like,
yeah.
But it's only wispy little lights and stuff like that. But that's the bit that looks aged. You know, it's perfectly apolitical. There's no underlying blah, blah, blahs.
Unless
it's just
you're
a nice...
Muslim.
You're Muslim, apparently. Although, even so, I don't get it. Just give it a go. But, yeah, I really do recommend it. I really enjoyed it. I was pleasantly surprised. The first time I watched it, the first 10 minutes, when it's that fucking narration, which it goes on for way too long.
See, I love
I spent the first 10 minutes being like, I have made a terrible mistake saying that we'd do this this month.
Like, no, I love
we were going to do The Godfather, and I'm watching this fucking Skeletor-looking eagle motherfuckers with this being like, in the beginning of Thra. Like, oh shit, this guy's not going to shut up the whole way through. But then, you know, it was a bit like Princess Bride, where the first 10 minutes I was like, wait, what is this? And in 20 minutes in, you're like...
Is a delight.
Exactly. I watched
but
it
in this case, it's
I watched
a physical
my wife.
Delight. It's a production delight.
Yeah.
Don't expect great things from the plot. And if anybody has a copy that's like, they redubbed it with a different soundtrack, just pick one from a different
If you go
movie.
On YouTube, you can see his original cut.
Oh.
It's not very legal, but you can see it on YouTube. So, yeah, it's
maybe.
A bit mad. But it includes lots of like black and white scenes, some very rough like VHS
like
quality.
Rushes.
Yeah, super rush rushes.
Or pre-shoots and all
so,
that
yeah,
stuff.
So it's cobbled together from like stuff that people have like collected off the internet for years. And it's been a big... I mean, as with anything like this, there is an insane online following. The wiki is unreal. Don't read it, because then you'll have realised I've just... read out the wiki for the podcast. Not Wikipedia. I mean, there is a Dark Crystal
wiki.
It is insane.
Darkcrystal.wikia.com. There's a Muppets one as well.
Yeah, of course.
Don't read that either.
In fact, don't go on the internet. Just never read anything about films.
Just do not Google whatever the thing is and click on anything in the top five links. Whatever our topic is, don't do that.
You can skip to the next page because we haven't gone that far, but don't do the first page. I forgot a cool thing.
What cool thing?
A cool thing. From the script. From the original script, they had to travel underground where they met a mining people, puppets,
Cough,
load of miners.
Moria.
And they cut it out of the script, but then they turned it into Fraggle Rock. So that's,
sorry, what?
Yeah, they turned it into Fraggle Rock. So Fraggle Rock was born out of the script. So
the Fraggles were originally.
So they did all
the
concept art and they did all that pre-production. So you imagine how much work goes into all the detail. They basically designed the entirety of the concept of Fraggle Rock. And then we're like, oh, we can't really put this in the film. It's going to cost too much. Oh, we could turn it into a TV show. So Henson's like, I've got a new TV show to pitch you, ABC. And yeah, Fraggle Rock.
Amazing.
Down to Fraggle Rock.
So, eagle-eared listeners might be wondering, well, we haven't spoken much about the voice actors in this movie.
Yeah.
Mike, why is that?
Because they have just done this and that's it. Like, they were in episodes of The Bill or Minder and stuff. There's not names.
No.
There's not names.
Well, this was not a big career launcher.
Which is another good thing.
For any of the voice actors.
But I like that. That's good.
I feel a bit sorry for them, to be honest.
Oh, no, sorry. I feel a bit sorry for them. But, I mean, it's good that they're not big names when they were doing the film. Because, again, I think that's another reason I don't like the prequel, which we'll come to in a minute. I've been really stacking up how... eagerly listeners might have realised, I didn't like the prequel very much. because fucking shite. But it's not that they never worked again. They just did lots of stuff for the Henson Company, little bit parts on TV. This wasn't... Why would it make Stephen Garlick a massive star? He's a voice of a puppet. He's never on screen.
Yeah. You know? And not really a great voice.
And Frank Oz was already a massive star, so, you know.
And doesn't voice
but also, if Frank Oz walked in here now and sat down, would you go, oh, that's Frank Oz?
Yes.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. I'd be like, some old dude. I mean, that he was dressed as
Miss
Piggy.
It might take a double take, but you reckon? The fact that you've got Miss Piggy on his left arm... And Yoda on the right.
Yeah.
That's traditionally how he goes into pubs.
It's true.
He doesn't have to pay for a drink.
He has to get somebody to feed him a pint.
The downside.
That is actually well and truly everything.
Can you imagine the Muppets rat party?
Very sober. Jesus. Sober but chatty.
I can't pick up a beer.
Sober but chatty.
Good music. Yes, that's it. So we mostly liked it. I'm guessing there are people who... bought the wrong thing on the wrong format.
Guess what? The DVD's not good and it didn't stream properly, but that's not what we're going to talk about.
Go on, let's punch it with the Amazon one-star reviews.
It's Amazon one-star reviews.
Jomazon. November 2016. Not a name. Jomazon. He's clever though, isn't it? Because he's on Amazon. It's clever, isn't it? November 2016. Everyone says if you love Labyrinth, you'd love The Dark Crystal. Not true. The music was not enjoyable. The movie was not enjoyable. Visually cool. The
music was not enjoyable.
Visually cool, yeah, true. Visually cool at times, but the human child puppet is creepy as hell, and the bird characters all squawk as the basis for dialogue in this movie. They don't squawk. That's weird. But otherwise, maybe fair cop. For the first time ever in Amazon One Star Reviews.
I'm not going to lie, if you love Labyrinth, there's no guarantee you're going to love The Dark Crystal.
No.
Unless you love
I think the other way around
specific
as well.
Bits.
I've
Labyrinth.
Only ever watched Labyrinth because it's got David Bowie in it. And Jennifer Connelly. Jennifer
I really
Caterpillar.
It because it's got Jennifer Connelly in it.
Jennifer Caterpillar Eyebrow Connelly. You know, that is Jim Henson's truly greatest creation, how they animate her eyebrows.
Took three guys. You don't want to know
I mean,
what
the scene
had
at
his
the
hand.
End of that film with the arse to arse thing is so. Oh, no, wait, that's not Labyrinth.
Requiem,
is it? That's
Requiem
for
a Dream.
I always mix up Jim Henson and Darren Aronofsky. next one.
Jim Henson's earliest work, that black and white. Thing which you didn't no.
What are you talking about? Pie? Are you trying to make a pie? Okay, no. You were right to abandon it. Polka loves polka dancing.
Polka does love polka dancing.
She calls this boring in November 2017.
But polka dancing's okay.
You're saying this when I was a kid and not enjoying.
What?
I thought maybe it was too dark for me at the time, but I watched it again and it was on sale for $1, and it was awful. The puppetry is unrealistic and terrible. It distracted from the storyline. I made the opposite point earlier. It's amazing. The storyline's terrible. Thank God the puppetry is good. Additionally, the story was slow. I think I fell asleep 14 times trying to get through this. It's only 86. 14. It's only 86.
Sleep apnea?
It's only 86. Yeah, exactly. I think you've got like...
See a doctor.
You've got narcolepsy. Jesus. That's what it is. The puppetry was it. Is not being able to understand how well a film
also,
is made... A symptom of narcolepsy?
Big fan of polka dancing.
True, loves polka dancing.
Not holding that against it, just saying.
Sickobot.
Ugh.
He's an edgelord. He's clearly an edgelord. No, he's not a bot. Awful, from July 2016. This was one of the worst movies I've ever seen. The plot was cliche. The world was gross. There is no redeeming quality. It's sad to say, considering Jim Henson worked on such masterpieces as Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
He did.
I was actually speechless when I read this one. I was like,
but certainly
wow.
Not held. And frankly, he didn't.
Jim Henson's masterpiece, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Jim Henson's Creature
Shop
did.
Not Muppets Christmas Carol. Not
pretty sure
these,
they kicked that out of the B team. Right, okay, so moving on. Anyway, wish he was a bot.
Agit. I hate to say this, because it has a feel of racism, but he is an Egypt. Anyway. Why? You know, his fourth brother, Egypt. Is Egypt, 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 Egypt. Why? I'm
I thought
glad
Egypt was the second brother.
No, because...
Egypt was the third brother. Ojit, Egypt.
You're doing it as vowels.
We all jit for Egypt.
He says, and I'm going to have to raise my voice for this because he wrote it in capitals. Seeing this movie, I was just confused. In one part of the story, Jen narrows down three shards to determine which one he needs. He plays his flute and the right shard glows. It doesn't say why. Yeah, it does. It shows a flashback of him remembering the mystic singing, and then it glows.
Yeah, it's
It shows you. It physically shows you.
Is it sympathetic harmonization?
Indeed. Ooh, very nice. Very nice.
Mm. Very nice. I know things.
Yeah. So, Egypt, you're in Egypt because it does tell you. And one star for that. Everything else in this film was fine.
Scene.
That's all he says.
No, that.
Everything else was fine.
They lost me there.
You've gone too far this time, Henson. Ooh, he chooses one crystal out of three, and I didn't understand because what? You were looking down at your iPad? I get it.
He's also the crystal that's right in front of him.
Yeah.
He could have just been
it
like,
is one in the middle. If he'd said, how does he know it's one of those three out of that big old bucket of shards, that I'd maybe get.
Also, kind of myth that there wasn't an opportunity for somebody else to pick one of the other shards. That's and then somebody to say, you have chosen poorly. And then they turn into this big, like, skeleton and decompose in front of
them. Seriously, this movie reminds me so much of Temple of Doom at times. It is insane. It is mental.
Well, that was The Last Crusade, but anyway.
Yeah, no, I know it's Last Crusade, but it just made
Go on,
me think.
What else you got?
That's it. It literally is because everything else is just like the Blu-ray ship.
Yeah.
Everybody loves this film. I've got very upset, emotional there for a second. Everybody loves this
not
film.
All gassy. Not sure which.
Yeah, no, it's
the same on Mike.
It's emotion. It's the same as babies. They're not smiling. They've got gas. Exactly the same with me. So that's your one-star reviews.
Right, so...
Wow, enjoying yourself?
Well, no, the one-star reviews increasingly... I do enjoy them, but increasingly... I'm like, oh my God.
If
you enjoyed this movie... Well, hang on. Which way around do we do this?
Don't know what you're going
to
say.
Well, Legacy, I would suggest we probably need to tread carefully.
Well, watch Labyrinth.
Yeah, it was made 4 years later?
Yeah, it was 4 years later. So, Jim Henson, this is his first foray into filmmaking, isn't it? So
it's nowhere this, near.
Into actual
serious,
cinema, I mean.
Like darker
He's
filmmaking.
Done TV and stuff, but he's
no,
not done
he
film.
He made the Muppets. He made three Muppets
movies.
Oh,
yeah, so Muppet
this.
Takes Manhattan came out like the year before, didn't they, actually?
Two Muppets movies. Right, and he's also done... Anyway, we'll get into that in the deep dive.
We will. So the legacy is basically that Jim Henson is a legend and continues to be a legend. And now his daughter's a legend and his son's a legend and they're just all legends in the Henson clan. That's the legacy. Like, everything you like about Star Wars... All the puppets that everyone complained about when Phantom Menace came out, Jim Henson. All the Star Wars movies you watch now, and all the puppets, Jim Henson. Anything. Name a famous puppet. Jim Henson.
Well,
that was Geppetto. Okay, so there's two famous puppet makers, Geppetto and Jim Henson. You want to have a laugh? The Henson Company are making a movie for Netflix that comes out in 2021 of Pinocchio.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm going to watch that.
That's not the only link. But you'll need to listen to the deep dive to find out more. I'm really putting the hooks in.
Jim Henson started life as an Italian carpenter?
He did. His name is actually Jimmy O. Hensano.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Our producer just showed me a note that says, just on it, Sooty.
Sooty is a legacy of this.
Sooty Sweep.
I'm pretty sure Sooty came out in like the 60s. You know, Sooty got took off the air because he got Sue pregnant. This is true. Sue got pregnant in Sooty and they got banned. That's true.
Okay. Anyway.
Sooty knocked out.
So
Sooty knocked
basically,
up Sue.
Anything which has Henson vaguely associated with
I assume
it
was some kind of this situation. I'm holding out a hand with one finger digging out.
Hang on. Stop. Hold that hand up.
Stop.
Producer, can we pause for a second? Thank you, producer. Right, so that will be on our Instagram momentarily. I'm trying to work out if we can put like a PG-13 kind of thing on Instagram, because that's some disturbing business.
It's only disturbing if you know what it is.
Watch anything with Henson. Yes. And by and large, the trouble is that
this rolls straight into recommendations, doesn't it? Absolutely.
If you like your fantasy and you like...
Willow. Watch Willow.
Watch Willow. Watch Krull. It's
fun. Watch Labyrinth, watch The Muppets, watch The Witches.
That movie
scared the shit out of me.
You know that was also
me.
Henson.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's why it's on my list of recommendations. Yeah. That scared the legit shit out of me.
Don't watch Legend. That was awful.
Tom Cruise, Ridley Scott.
Ugh.
You should watch it.
It's a terrible film.
It's not good, but you should watch it.
Had better music than this, though.
You should watch Star Wars.
Yeah.
Do you like puppets? Watch Star Wars. Some of them. You know which ones. I'd love someone to be listening to me just go, oh, did he say Star Wars? Was it Star Wars? Oh, okay, I'll write that down. I'll go and watch it. Star Wars?
There's more than one of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Hi. And
it's
I would suggest
one really
also,
long war, isn't it?
You can watch things that, I mean, the impact of this stuff reaches far and wide. It informs
Happy Time
modern
Murders
animation.
That came out recently.
Happy Time Murders, again, Creature Shop. Yeah. But you've also got things like Pixar. All of their characterization, all of their facial expressions in the modern CGI stuff is all.
Yeah.
Henson was doing it in the 60s.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're absolutely right.
So watch that.
Yeah. Why are you so annoyed about this?
I don't know.
I'm furious about Pixar being good. I'm so angry.
It's more because I get the feeling that actually the Muppets and Henson and the Creature Shop are a huge thing, right? But nobody gives them their fucking due.
No, I know. It's almost like their crew, isn't it? You know,
he did the Muppets. It's like, no.
The Muppets.
He did the Muppets, and they then made all of this happen.
It's all about the inflection. So I do want to quickly mention sequels and prequels.
Okay. So, is there a sequel?
Yes, just quickly. So there are three prequel novels which lead into the new Netflix series.
Novels?
Yes, three prequel novels. And a sequel comic. But the prequel that has just come out on Netflix, directed by Louis Leterrier, who directed such smash hits as Incredible Hulk, you know, the best MCU film, Now You See Me, and Clash of the Titans. I know you like Now You See Me.
I do love Now You See Me.
But it also clashes.
Mostly because Now You See Me has a really, really good soundtrack hook that they reuse over and over.
That is true. That is true. But I watched one episode of this.
I've not watched any yet.
It is one of the worst. Like, if you love the mythology of Dark Crystal, you're super into it, then you will super love it. You will definitely love it because it's more Dark Crystal. So fair enough. It is one of the worst things I've ever seen in my whole life. It's actual puppets, so the Skeksis and the Gelflings and everything are puppets, and there's like different tribes of Gelflings, and depending on where they're from, they've got slightly different facial features and stuff. It's quite cool. I mean, the puppets are amazing, but everything else is CGI, and it looks like Doom 3. It's like, it is bad. The CGI is so bad.
They animated it on the PS2, I think you said earlier this week.
Guess who's not as good at directing puppets as Jim Henson?
Everybody.
So they got Louis Leterrier, who's not even a good film director. Like, he can't direct actual human beings, let alone puppets. It is none of the eyelines match. The 180-degree rule that we said about earlier, I know you're going to do lift music, but I'm going to get it in quick.
No, it's fine.
It just from a filmmaking standpoint, and it didn't help that I watched the film and then watched this. It really does not compare.
I think, if anything, watch the new series or don't. We don't give a shit. It's not like we're on commission.
No, indeed. Louis Leterrier is not.
If you get to the end of the movie and you're like, well, that was kind of... Watch the new series to understand just how well done the
movie
is.
It really will. Literally 10 minutes in, I was like...
Oh, and then remember, it predates the ability to have anything beyond a glass shot in a couple of scenes.
And it's stacked. It's stacked full of people. It's everybody you've ever heard of. Yeah. Sigourney Weaver, Eddie Izzard's in it, Taron Egerton, Helena Bonham Carter. There's millions of people. Everybody's in it. Mark Hamill does a voice of the scientist, which you think would be really good. But it's not. It's terrible. I mean, well, to be fair, he's good. But it's just really bad. It's just really bad.
So, is there anything else we need to talk about?
I don't think so.
No. Annoyingly, there is no... I mean, the Creature Shop... Creature Workshop, whatever it is, kicked around the idea of a sequel to Dark Crystal.
For a long time.
Yeah, I think it kind of got absorbed into the prequel TV show.
Frank Oz said he'd never do a sequel, and Frank Oz is in no way involved with the prequel. He just said absolutely.
So I think, unfortunately, that might be it.
That's it for Dark Crystal. Yeah. Read the comic, apparently it's quite good. But what the attraction of watching a movie with puppets in it, then reading a comic, even I don't get that.
Well, quite enjoyed the Alien 3 graphic novel. That was amazing.
It's true, say. It's true, say, rude boy.
That has been We're Drunk and We Know Things as The Dark Crystal. We've managed to get through this entire episode, and we've only killed and drunk the essence of 14 Gelflings.
It's true. Well, I did have those 6 podlings. That was
more
of a snack.
You came out,
that
right?
Was more of a snack.
That's like the hair of the podling that bit you. Join us in 2 weeks' time when we'll be doing a deep dive, rather specifically this time into the animation and life and times and works of the master himself, Jim Henson. We hope you enjoyed this. If you're a huge fan of The Dark Crystal and you didn't,
don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes and everywhere else you can, by the way. That'd be good.
Yeah, give us a review. 5 stars would be good. 1 star, but make it funny because we're going to round them up.
From
and
what
read
I understand,
them out at some
whatever
point.
You're listening to this on only does 5-star reviews, so don't even try and give less.
And also, if you've got something you would like to tell us, something you'd like to, I'm not going to say request, because traditionally the audience participation part of this podcast has not gone well. If there is something that you would like us to consider doing as an episode, then you can reach out on Twitter, WDAWKT. You can email us, hi@WDAWKT.com, blah, 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 blah. Anyway. Shameless self-promotion, notwithstanding. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you again in 2 weeks' time.
I'm bringing Skeksis back! Mm-hmm.
Those mystic creatures don't know how to act. Mm. I think their prophecy is kind of whack. Mm. I'll take them out with one Gotham attack. Mm. Trial by stone!
Real, real fast, real nice, baby. The cool thing is, in the original script, they have to go underground. They go into a mine and they meet mining. Sorry, I am gonna address it. What are you doing, producer? No, don't speak. You know, you're not allowed to talk on mic. I'm just gonna berate you. What are you doing, you weirdo?
What is this?
You Duck Dynasty looking motherfucker. What's happening?
Right, put a break in.
We could all rebuild the Land Rover together and I could learn how to do it and you two could be, you know, condescending. It would be awesome.
That would be an amazing vlog.
It would be great.